the whole story. This week, I got caught in the matrix of Facebook. I was minding my own business when I came across a post from one of my favorite Facebook pages, Humans of New York. I knew that I was in trouble on Wednesday morning when I saw that the administrator, Brandon, posted about a couple that indicated that it was the first of 11 posts. The post came with a picture of the couple, and can you show them the picture? This is the couple who had an 11-part series on Wednesday. And we hear in our first post these words from Cheryl. It was just a normal morning. Almost exactly 5 years ago, I was making tea in the kitchen. Bobby was still in bed. And we get this knock on the door. I opened it up slowly and saw the police standing there. At first, I wasn't worried. We had this crazy lady that lived next door, and the police were always checking up on her. So I assumed they had the wrong address. But the moment I opened the door, 12 officers came barging past me. Some of them had FBI written on their jackets. They went straight back to the bedroom and walked up to Bobby. I heard them ask, "What's your name?" And he said, "Bobby Love." Then they said, "No, what's your real name?" And I heard him say something real low. And they responded, "You've had a long run." That's when I tried to get into the room, but the officer kept saying, "Get back, get back. You don't know who this man is." Then they started putting him in handcuffs. It didn't make any sense. I'd been married to Bobby for 40 years. He didn't even have a criminal record. At this point, I'm crying and I scream, "Bobby, what's going on? Did you kill somebody?" And he tells me, "This goes way back, Cheryl, back before I met you, way back to North Carolina." Facebook 1. Productivity for the day, 0. The day for me was officially over because I knew that I would feel compelled to check Facebook all day to catch the next 10 installments in order to find out who Bobby really was and what he had done back in North Carolina. What could Bobby have done that could bring the police officers to his house first thing in the morning? Thankfully for us, Paul was much more concise in telling the story of his dastardly past. Paul tells Timothy unashamedly that before being appointed to ministry, he used to speak against Jesus and attack Jesus' followers, and that he was proud of it. Paul writes this letter to his protege to encourage him in ministry and a life of faith. As a part of his instruction, Paul narrates his calling, including his shaky and contentious beginning as a persecutor and chief adversary of the church. He shared his testimony that though he spoke against Christ, though he attacked Christ's people, and though he was proud of his behavior, Christ's love and faithfulness still poured out over him. Unlike Bobby Love, Paul does not gloss over or diminish or hide the depths of his depravity, but he insists instead that it is for sinners like him that Christ came into the world. Paul lifts himself up as an example for all those who would believe that no one is beyond the reach of Christ's redemption. Paul tells us that no behavior is beyond the grasp of God's grace, and no shame is larger than divine love. Paul is telling us that the blinding light that shone on him as he walked down the road to Damascus revealed not only his wrongs, but it also revealed a way to make his wrongs right. Because the evil desires of Paul's heart were revealed, he was able to be healed by God's grace. And that tells me that it is possible that we can't get to the healing until we get to the revealing. In order for us to be healed by God's love and by God's grace, we have to be willing to reveal that which needs to be healed. In the next 7 installments, Bobby Love tells us about Walter Miller. He was a young man who grew up poor in a single-parent home. He was arrested for the first time at 14 for disorderly conduct at a Sam Cooke concert. And in his words, it was all downhill from there. He began to steal from parked cars and mailboxes before he finally got caught and sent to juvenile detention center for stealing from the band room of his high school. He escaped one night and made his way all the way to Washington, D.C., where he succumbed to old behaviors and began stealing again. But this time, Walter graduated to robbing banks. He got away with it a few times before finally getting caught. It was all over for Walter Miller. He was sentenced to 25 to 30 years in prison. And he did well in the maximum security prison and was transferred to a minimum security prison down the hill. Things were going well in the minimum security prison until one day something happened and one of the guards began targeting him for abuse. He made up in his mind at some point in his time in the minimum security prison that he was not going to stay there either. And once again, Walter devised a way to escape, and he made it all the way to New York City, where he changed his name to Bobby Love, met and married a nice young woman named Cheryl, and had 4 children that they raised together. Bobby never told Cheryl about his past. Instead, he buried the truth of his life as Walter and went about the task of living a new life as Bobby Love rather than Walter Miller. Many of us, like Bobby Love, hide the pain and shame of our past. We hold back our whole story, what we have done or what was done to us. But the Bible has much to say about telling the truth about our past. As the Israelites were coming out of the wilderness, God instructed them to tell their children the whole story. Tell them, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. He brought us out from there in order to bring us in. God longs for us to embrace our whole story, not as a badge of shame or as a whipping post to beat ourselves upon or a constant reminder of our painful past and failures, but as a badge of honor, proof of our strength, proof of our resiliency, and proof of our redemption. We can't be whole until we embrace our whole story. We are called to embrace our whole story because it tells us as much about God as it tells us about ourselves. It reminds us of God's faithfulness, power, and undying love for us. We are to embrace our whole story because inextricably weaved into the story of our pain, our sorrow, our heartbreak, our loss, our depression, our oppression, and even our powerlessness is God's love manifest in his resolve to bring us out in order to draw us in. God longs to draw us in so she can whisper in our ears, "For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God's plan for redemption includes us. There is nothing too shameful or painful in our past or our present that God's love and grace can't reach. Sharing our whole story is a vital practice of our faith. It may be used by God to inspire and encourage all those who hear, and it may assure them of the inexhaustible grace that resides in our God. Paul's story declares to each of us that if God can forgive him for speaking against Christ, if God can forgive him for persecuting the church, if God can forgive him for participating in the murder of Stephen, then God can forgive us for lying on our taxes. God can forgive us for cheating to get ahead. God can forgive us for excluding others from our fellowship. God can forgive us for failing to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. If God can forgive Paul for all that Paul did before he was Paul, then God can forgive us for all that we have done. Sharing our whole story gives us a bonus effect as well. Because by sharing our whole story, it gives us and the ones we love the opportunity to offer the same unconditional love and grace that we have received from God. In installment number 9 of 11, Bobby's wife shared that in the 40 years of their marriage, that there was a piece missing. She loved her husband and he loved her, but something was missing. First, he never liked to be in photographs, and he always thought that people were watching him. But she goes on to share, but then there was deeper stuff. There wasn't much affection in our relationship. Not many hugs, not much cuddling, not much communication. I could only get so close and he'd shut down. Part of the reason that we should share our whole story is because whether we know it or not, the parts of our story that we keep to ourselves, that we keep hidden, prevent us from being close and intimate with the ones we love. When we hold back the important parts of our story, we place a barrier between ourselves and the world. We cage ourselves in a web of lies and secrets that render us unable to fully love or to fully be loved. I believe that Paul confesses to Timothy about his deplorable past because he knew that the only way to get free from your past is to tell the whole, sometimes painful and sometimes embarrassing truth about our past. In the final installment of the love saga, which dropped at 9:45 p.m., an hour and 45 minutes past my bedtime, we hear the final words coming from Cheryl. She shares that after hearing the whole story, after living through the shame of not knowing the true identity of the man that she had been married to for 45 years, and after experiencing the pain of separation when he went to jail, she went to work. She began petitioning the governor, writing letters, and even writing letters to the president on behalf of her husband. She began telling the whole story that did not stop with the actions of Walter Miller. She told the whole story of Walter Miller that was now Bobby Love. She told the story of their 40 years of marriage, the four children that they raised in a loving and stable home. She told of his uninterrupted life of hard work and dedication. She told the story of a man who had not been in trouble with the law since escaping prison. She told of his life of faith and the fact that he was a deacon in his church. And she told the story of a life that had been redeemed by a God filled with grace. She shared that she still, from time to time, has her resentments. She said to Brandon, "When we get in a fight, I'll think, this man better appreciate that I forgave him. But the thing is, I did forgive him. And when I made that decision, I had to accept all the territory that came with it. I can't make him feel that debt every day of his life, because that's not the marriage I want to be in. The whole world knows now. We've got no secrets. But I think this whole mess was for the better of things. Better for me, better for the kids, and better for Bobby, because he doesn't have to hide anymore." As evidenced by the lives of the Apostle Paul and the Loves, we can all benefit by telling and hearing our whole story. Sharing our story frees us and frees those around us. Telling our whole story can lead to deeper love. It can lead to closer relationships built on the foundation of truth. And telling our whole story tells more than just our truth. It tells the truth of God's love. It tells the truth of God's faithfulness. And it tells the truth of God's grace that knows no bounds. And who knows, perhaps your story can help another imperfect soul draw closer to our perfect God. Amen.